Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
We reached out to a couple of friends of ours. Dr. Ray Garcia is the medical director at Rosecrans, the Harrison campus, and Dr. Thomas Wright is the chief medical officer and addictionologist at Rosecrans. You hear us talk about Rosecrans on the radio. Doctors, gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on WGN.
Peter.
Let's start with you, Dr. Wright. Do you agree with my premise that to one degree or another, it's going to be hard to know how much or how lingering the impact of this virus has been on adults and kids?
Yeah, especially with the mental health and substance use issues that we're seeing. There's always a lag in sort of having data to tell us, inform us how to do things. But but certainly all the initial data that we're seeing looks like because of some of the social isolation, you know, the lack of interactions, particularly kids are suffering in terms of more depression and suicidal behavior. And certainly adults are using more drugs and alcohol in particular. But it's going to be a little while for us to see the aftermath of that. We are beginning to see some of that right now, but there's a lag time.
And Dr. Garcia, it's hard to tell what kids are thinking or feeling even when there's not a pandemic, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, kids are notorious for not being the easiest to talk about their, you know, how they're feeling, their emotions, etc. With adults also, you know, struggling right now, I think the communication gap is probably even much harder these days.
Well, do you have any tips, Ray? I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I want to talk about something else as well, but do you have any ideas for what parents can be looking for or asking their kids about?
Absolutely. And yes, I do. I have a 17-year-old and a 23-year-old, and certainly I think it's important to pay attention to what they're doing, you know, and how they're spending their time, especially if they're at home more, if they're not attending in-person school, or if they're in some kind of hybrid program, if they're not out there socializing as much, or not able to, you know, how are they spending their time? Because that could certainly be a time where they might be, you know, trying to self-soothe if they're isolating more. They may be, you know, kind of suffering in silence. And so I think it's important to look for the signs of withdrawal and you know, any signs of depression, any signs of changes in behavior.
But then when I see that, and I bet everybody has seen a little bit of that, then what do I do? I mean, is just a rousing conversation going to snap them out of it? I mean, what do we do when we see that?
Well, I think it's important to definitely listen, to listen to what it is that they're willing to share. And if it seems like there's more going on, I think it's important to try to go ahead and get help.
Yeah, right.
Get some professional help.
And Tom, would you agree with that? That is, maybe to some degree, it is going to be what it is. And the question is, how acute is it before I actually seek care?
Yeah, I think a parent's job certainly is to keep the lines of communication open. And then once you're sort of out of your element, do your best not to make a judgment or just a reaction to the kid, but then seek out help. And, you can call Rosecrans, and we're happy to give evaluations to anybody that calls or recommendations. You can talk to your local physician, your family doctor, if they're available. Certainly people that are religious may have access to pastors or church members that might do it, but reach out to some other expertise that's in sort of your group or your pod that you can discuss it with and find out what the next best step might be. Some of it may be as simple as just some experimentation. Some of it may be as serious as having some suicidal thoughts. And if that's the case, then you certainly need to get a professional, somebody with more experience in there to evaluate that.
Have we been seeing an uptick in that, either kids talking about suicide or abusing substances in the last 12 months?
Yes, we certainly have seen that, you know, and we see it here at Rosecrans, too. The kids, especially adolescents at this point in time, need to have an anchor of of developmental process of doing what they need to do, which is sort of developing sort of an independent life. And part of that involves a lot of interactions with people outside their family, which they're not getting during COVID, as well as, you know, sort of the process of learning and growing and becoming a different person. And that happens with school. The loss of that many of them are having is certainly what we believe has triggered the increase in substance use and particularly marijuana and then suicidal behavior. Certainly in Illinois, too, the marijuana laws have changed, and we've seen an increase in kids right about this during the same time period of the use of marijuana as a result of that. Sometimes it's hard to tell what the difference is, but those two things sort of happen together.
And this upsetting of our normal lives, maybe we don't appreciate how developmentally important that is to a teenager. Like, we're all going through this, and it sucks. Nobody likes it, but it's not going to affect my development as a human being. Maybe to a 15 or 16-year-old, it really is more critical. I mean, am I reading too much into that, Tom?
No, you're not at all. I mean, because the developmental task of a 15 and a teenager is to sever ties with their family. They will continue it, but it's going to be a very different way. And then to develop ties and social relationships outside of it. And part of the reason that that happens, one of the things that happens in the teenage years is both get over-exaggerated. Their desire for outside relationship grows bigger than it probably will be when they're 25. And their desire to sever relationships with family members is bigger than it will be. It's part of that process that happens. So it makes it a particularly vulnerable time developmentally for teenagers to have this this sort of change in their environment.
Boy, lousy time for a pandemic. Dr. Tom Wright is an addictionologist at Rosecrans, and also on the phone is Dr. Ray Garcia, and he is the medical director at Rosecrans. So when somebody does come under your care then, Ray, I know that you all actually work with them. You have a number of ways to deal with and treat families, but you also are trying now to better measure how effective the treatment is. Am I right about that?
Yes, that is something that we've started doing. I think traditionally programs like ours have not been very good at measuring outcomes, but I think it's an important part of being able to provide the best care possible. How do you know that what you're doing is helping if you're not going to measure it? So
how do you do that? How do you? I mean, how do you know? I know what sales are. We can look at the revenue sheet. I know if I'm working at a factory, how many widgets we've produced. How do you tell how much somebody is getting better?
Well, we're actually using validated screening tools that measure things like depression, anxiety, patient function. And we apply these tools at the beginning of treatment, throughout the course of treatment, and as much as we can also after treatment to see how treatment has progressed, to see where people came from, and to see where they are after they've completed treatment.
Did you get a score?
Yes, actually we do. We actually use these validated screens that come up with scores that'll give you, you know, a sense of severity that changes over time.
And then suppose the score isn't going as well as it as you would hope, does that reflect on the doctor or the patient? I mean, what do you do with that number? How do we get a better score, if you will?
Well, and I think that's an important thing to look at. That's a way to then get us, you know, it forces us to ask the questions then. So is this something that was, is there a trend? Are we seeing trends that may predict that there are different factors involved? Is it maybe we need to adjust the mode of treatment? Or is this just isolated instances with certain individuals? Mm-hmm. If there's a trend, we're certainly going to want to look at our programming and to see where we can tweak it, where some adjustments might be made.
Dr. Wright, it makes it sound like then you're giving a score not just to the patient, you know, like how are they doing, but it also sounds like we're using this outcome-based measurement to see how well Rosecrans itself is doing. Am I reading that correctly?
So that's exactly right. Yeah, we look at it, you know, from a very micro level to look at how a patient is doing. And then because it is a standardized tool that we're giving to everyone, we can compare apples to apples. And so we can look, you know, look at our database and see how Rosecrans as a 1,200 employee, you know, 500 bed institution is doing and look at all of that over time. We can look at it for a particular site. We can look at it for a particular counselor or a particular doctor and see if they're where we'd expect it to be the green area. You know, that they're not in a red or a yellow area. They're in a green area of our dashboard. And if they're not, then we can take a look at that, and not in a punitive way, and maybe actually in a reward kind of way, and say, you know, Ray's patients are doing better than mine. You know, why is it? Why is Dr. Garcia's scores better than Dr. Wright's scores? What can Dr. Garcia teach Dr. Wright in order to improve his scores? So there's a lot of different ways we can look at it, from a very large level or a very micro level for a patient or a particular clinician. So it's one of the things that I think has made a big difference in knowing that our quality of care is good at Rosecrans.
Tom, if we're talking about, say, a mental health issue or maybe an addiction issue, not that those are entirely separate, but who measures that? Like, are you asking the patient how they're feeling, or is somebody else assessing that score?
So generally, you know, for our assessments, so the assessment tools we use for our outcome project, they're usually done by the primary counselor, the person who knows the patients. Many of them are self-reports, so it's not even necessarily the counselor asking them questions as much as it's offering them this to sit down and do that. We do like self-reports with this. Sometimes with a self-report where someone fills it out quietly at a desk by themselves, they're a little more likely to reveal some difficult issues that they might not be willing to say out loud. So when they're in treatment with us, that's sort of how we do it. We do some follow-ups after they've left, and those follow-up measures are either done through email, and we give them a link to a place where they can do the measure. Sometimes we call them on the phone, and we just do it over the phone with them. We have several different means of sort of trying to get that as follow-up.
Because I just worry that somebody's going to say, I'm doing great, Doc, can I go now? And Ray, you probably hear that now and again, and then you say, well, I'm not sure that's the answer we were looking for.
Right, absolutely. Certainly, you know, we want to try to encourage the people to provide as much meaningful feedback as possible, letting them know that, you know, that we want to hear what they really think.
And there's no, it's not like cancer, say, or, I don't know, cavities. You know, you can see the disease and then you can attack it. It must be kind of maddening to people in your field to know how much progress you've made, other than that the person seems to be doing a little bit better.
Right. All right. Absolutely. And, you know, and unfortunately, the nature of, you know, these kinds of illnesses is that, you know, they oftentimes can be recurrent. They can be chronic. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the treatment didn't work. Sometimes it can be frustrating to try to figure out, okay, what's really happening here.
But I know people that have mental health issues. They struggle. And perhaps they, with their doctors, are doing this. I would hope everybody would be. But it's like, okay, what's your baseline when you came in? How much progress have we made? Are all counselors and psychiatrists and therapists kind of measuring people this way? They are at Rosecrans, but I wonder how standard in the industry that is. Tom, what is your thought?
Well, you know, I think part of the reason that many institutions have started doing this is that it now is a joint commission. The Joint Commission is an accreditation institution for hospitals or large places, clinics like us, and this is a requirement to do some sort of outcome studies that sort of was instituted a couple of years ago. So most places are. Now, that's usually a large institution like us or a hospital. When you get to smaller practices or small group practices, they don't have that same requirement because they're not usually joint commission sort of instituted. So there's some, so I know it's not going on everywhere. And the other difficulty that that we have, and we'd like to see some change in it, is that so Rosecrans is doing, we're using something called the Brief Addiction Measure, the PHQ-9, and the Zung Anxiety Scale. Now, another institution down the street, say a sister one like ours, like Gateway, might be down the street, they may be using something else. So we can't necessarily compare ours to a different institution. What we're trying to do as a science and a field nationwide is trying to agree on some tools that we all can use, so it's much better for the, you know, the client or the consumer. They can compare, you know, Rosecrans to some other place that they might be looking at. I think we're 5 or 10 years off from that, but that's definitely a direction that we're trying to take.
We got to go, guys. I know that I talked to you both off the air, and I think it was you, Tom, who said, well, I wish we were doing better. Actually, we're doing pretty well, but that's not good enough. I want to do even better with these measurements, both for the patients and for Rosecrans. And I appreciate hearing that, and I wanted to make sure our listeners heard that too. Dr. Tom Wright is the chief medical officer and addictionologist at Rosecrans, and Dr. Ray Garcia is the medical director there. Gentlemen, thanks for your time. Thanks for what you're doing out there, and let's stay in touch.
All right. Thanks, John.
Gentlemen, glad you could join us.